Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
You go to work and someone that you had a few terse words with, you avoid that person. You don't sit with him in the lunchroom. You come in, there he is, okay. If you're frustrated with your faith, you'll avoid Christians, you'll avoid church, you won't want to go to church. You'll be in the supermarket and you'll see the pastor and you, whoa, and you go the other way and the other aisle. I know, I see you guys do that. You avoid him. I saw you last week do that.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne was taking us through the life of Peter, and we learned how Peter was ambidextrous. He could put both feet in his mouth at the same time. Peter denied the Lord, and he carried a lot of guilt because of it. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us what we should do if we ever find ourselves in that situation. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of the message, Peter, An Appointment with God.
Now, there's going to be people that come to this church that are, like Peter, frustrated in their faith. And I just want to take a little short change of gears and let me just speak to us here at New Hope. When you see new people at New Hope, man, be kind, embrace them, and welcome them with genuine hearts. Because little do you know, that person may be frustrated in his or her faith, and it just took all the courage they could to muster up to just get here. And sometimes we'll look at them and think, who's that? Oh, I don't know that person. Or he's just like standing on the side. Which leave them alone, you know. No. Go up to them. Welcome them. Embrace them. And say, you belong here. You have an appointment with God today. I remember in the negative about 3 years ago, there was a person that sort of backslid and was not walking with God for a couple of years. And then one Wednesday night, this person that had not been around and had just kind of relapsed into his old ways shows up for our Wednesday night service. And I saw him at a distance come through the door and I thought, wow, this is so exciting. And just then another person stepped in front of me that knew this person before they had relapsed and backslid. And when that person came through the door, this other person looked and said, hey, what are you doing here? I thought, no, that's the worst thing in the world to say. He probably just drove him right back out the other door. No, it behooves every single one of us to be the embrace of a prodigal son's father. Instead, we should have put a ring on his finger and a robe on him and embraced him and said, welcome home, welcome home. Because you don't know what they're going through. Just last year, there was a guy standing outside with his kind of arms crossed and looking around. And I thought, he's kind of on the edge, just kind of spectating. And I thought, oh, maybe he's just here to criticize people. And I thought, no, come on. No man can come unto me unless the Father draws him, the scripture says. And I bet the Father's drawing him, even though his countenance doesn't look like it. So I walked up and I said, welcome to New Hope. First thing he said was, I don't know if I belong here. I said, okay. I said, why is that? He said, they found my mom. I said, good. Where was she? She said, well, they found her on the side of Cam Highway. She was murdered. Someone put her in a blanket and dumped her. And I came to church, but I don't know if I belong. And I thought, you belong. I said, come on in. You have an appointment with God. You see, we don't know what's going on. And that's why it's so important for every single one of us that when God brings people here, like we were once, to make sure that we go and embrace and the love and the care. And that little ministry of yours may be the grandest ministry on a Sunday morning that will take place, because it'll welcome that person in because he has an appointment with God. Well, each of us are going to go through times where we're frustrated with our faith and doubts settle in and we think we'd like to go back to try on our old grave clothes again. And it's then that you'll hear the voice of the Lord speaking, come on, come on. And you won't know, is that God at first? You won't know, but it'll be Him. You'll have an appointment with God. So the first thing is, when you know God's tugging at your heart, do whatever you can to get close to God again. The second thing is, when Peter gets onto the shore, Jesus has some fish cooking on a charcoal fire, and he's dripping wet, and he sits across from him, and the Lord says, Peter, do you love me? He asked him the question. Now remember, Peter was one of his best friends who had just denied, who had betrayed Jesus, not once, not twice, but how many times? Three times denied the Lord. And instead of saying, "Why did you deny me?" That's what I would have said. I would have looked at him and said, "Hey, idiot. How come you denied me, you turkey? You betrayed me when I needed you." No. You know what the Lord did? He just looked at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter, he wanted Peter to say it. "Lord, I love you." He said, "Then tend my lambs." "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And he points to the fish. "Do you love me more than what you used to be? Do you want to be what you used to be, or do you want to be the new you? It's going to require a greater love to transition back." No, not just a discipline, or it'll require some of that, but it'll require a greater sense of love. And you need to say that. I tell you, one of the most important things you can do is when you feel frustrated with your faith, is start, here it is, would you write it, number two, confess your love for God. Just confess your love for God. You need to speak it out loud. And that's why worship is so critical. You know why it's so important? When you say, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice," and you say it out, not as a song, but as a proclamation, as you speak that, there's something that happens to your soul because you're speaking truth. Not how you feel, not how you're frustrated. You're not venting or vomiting your frustration. You're voicing the truth. And the Bible says, you want to be free from that? Yeah. Then you shall know the what? The truth. And what will set you free? The truth will set you free. Yeah, but what if I don't feel like what I'm saying? I don't feel like I love the... No, you say the truth, because it's the truth that'll set you free. And in fact, he doesn't ask Peter once, "Do you love me?" and has him confess it. He doesn't ask him twice. He asks him what? Three times. Almost as if he was saying, "Peter, when you begin speaking the truth, even though your heart seems frustrated, you speak what is right. Not what you feel, you speak what is right. Not what your emotions dictate, but what the truth dictates." And you confess that. When the truth is being confessed, the truth will set you free. In other words, he's saying, here it is, Peter, I want you to say this three times. You know why? Because as you confess the truth, it undoes or it reduces that tendency. It unempowers that tendency inside of you to doubt, to deny, because all of us have the tendency to doubt and deny the Lord. And Peter had denied the Lord. It's almost like the Lord is saying, speak the truth, because what you do is, as you speak the truth and confess your love for me, it de-empowers that tendency inside of you towards doubt, towards denial, towards betraying, towards being ashamed of the Lord. And so he has him speak. In fact, let's read the scripture together. Go. "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.'" Yeah, you see, in the kingdom of God, there must be no 007s, no secret agents, no. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 107, he says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so."
Yeah, he's saying you verbalize the truth because the truth will start setting you free. There's tendencies in us towards denial, towards doubt, towards going back to the old ways. And the Lord is saying as you speak truth, it de-empowers those tendencies. It breaks down. It removes the strength of those tendencies towards denial and doubt. Because the truth is what sets you free, not voicing your feelings, not just voicing your doubts, not just voicing and giving audience to your tendency to betray and go back the other way. You start speaking the truth. And as you do that, it gives you confidence in your new identity. See, Peter was not confident yet in his new identity. He was confident in his old identity. But the Lord is saying, no, you must be confident in your new one. And so you need to confess your love for God, not only to God, but to others. Don't be afraid to let them know who you are, because that's your new identity. And if you stay incognito, I tell you, you get tempted all the time. And there'll be a strength inside of you towards denial and betrayal and doubt. And I've got to de-empower that by speaking my love and letting people know where I stand, who, to whom I belong. How often people might come to you and they'll say, Where are you going? We're going fishing this morning. Where are you going? Church. What?
Church.
Church? You're going to church?
Yeah, I'm going to church.
How come?
My wife make me go.
You're going to church?
Oh, yeah, just today, whatever. You know, just this weekend.
He can't do that. I wonder how many of those people are waiting for someone to be courageous enough in their new identity to see that it's credible. And it will affect them. We're going fishing this morning. Where are you going?
I'm going to go to church.
Church?
I go to a great church. Have you gone to church?
Oh, no, I'm going fishing.
Fishing? You need to be in church. You have an appointment with God.
Oh, I do? Yeah, come on.
Okay, I'll go with you then.
They're just waiting for someone to take leadership. And if leadership is to be taken by anybody, it should be taken by the people of God. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. And so they're waiting for that. So as you begin to confess your love for God, it identifies you and it strengthens you. In fact, let's read this next scripture together. Go. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah. And when you do, it strengthens your new identity, and it de-empowers the tendencies that reside within me to go try on my old grave clothes again. Each of us, when you feel that distance, don't let the devil normalize it. When you think, I think God is speaking to me, look closely, because it will be him. And you'll have an appointment with God, and then do whatever you need to, number one, to get close to God. I mean, scramble if you have to. Redouble your efforts. And then confess your love for God, because you need to start de-empowering some of the tendencies that come with the old man and baggages of that stuff. And that as you confess who you are in Christ, the better. Can I just say something to those of you that are college students? One of the best things that you can do when you get on campus is let people know somehow that you're a follower of Christ early on. Because if you go in secretive and nobody knows you're a Christian, you will be flooded with temptations. And one of those may knock you off at the knees and you'll stumble and you'll do irreparable damage because you were afraid to identify with Christ. Now, if you wear like a Budweiser shirt, you're going to be invited to keggers all the time. Isn't that right? If you wear a Doobie shirt, you're going to be invited to all of the dope parties. But if you carry like a Bible, you watch, nobody invites you to a kegger. Now, all I'm saying is you've got to somehow identify with the Lord, and 90% to 95% of the temptations will drop off. You have time to develop in yourself a new identity that's comfortable. This is who I am, and I love it. And you'll be surprised, just with that leadership, the influence of your faith will be far more reaching, and many will say, I need to follow that course because the Lord has been speaking to me and I just needed someone to give me the course, the way, the pathway home. So the second is confess your love for God. Then he said to him, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Tend my lambs. Would you write down number three? Here's a third way to protect yourself from that drift backwards. And that is not only to get close to God and confess your love for God, but the third is get involved with God. Get involved. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, tend my lambs. Second time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, then feed my sheep. Get involved. Then the third time, he speaks to him. And let's read what it says here under number three. Go. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So Jesus then said to him what? Tend my sheep. Yeah, in other words, he said, Peter, take action. Begin to get involved with God. I think one of the greatest strengths of Peter was that he's a person that took action.
And if you want to build a life of faith, it's going to be based on action. Now, would you fill in these next two bullets? And this is the crux of the whole message. And you got to catch this. Here it is. A life of faith is built on action. Write that in. A life of faith is built on action. However, a life of fear is built on avoidance of action. Think about it. A life of faith is built on action. What God says, you read it, you act upon it. God says, that's Matthew chapter 7, a wise man who hears these words of mine and acts upon it can be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. He would be tested with storms and thunder and lightning, but his house will remain strong. Now, the one who hears these words but doesn't apply it, doesn't act upon it, does not integrate it into his or her life, will be compared to a fool or a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. Now, just before that, it's amazing. The Lord says, there's a bunch of people out there that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And many will come to me on that day saying, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do miracles in your name? Did we not cast out demons? And you know what his answer was? I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you who practice lawlessness. Now, those who hear these words of mine and act upon it shall be compared to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And it's just right together in Matthew 7. And I thought, wow, because all of these people are operating at a high level of faith. You know what God is saying? Faith is not some ethereal thing, some mystical religious thing. It's as practical as, what did I say to you? Are you applying it to your life? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And Peter was a man who just put into action what God taught him. There was a receptivity factor in his life that it just didn't come into his ears and go out his nose. It seeped into his heart and worked in the very fabric of his life. And his receptivity factor on a scale of 1 to 10 was 12. And so things seeped right into him, whereas others of us are more reticent to receive. We're just not as absorbent. And so the Lord has to just pour and pour and pour and pour and pour for it to get in just like half an inch in. Whereas with Peter, he applied. And that's why, even though he's a bit impetuous, the Lord made him the spokesman of the church. And here's what he's saying. Get involved. Get involved with God. It's one of the most important things that you can do. I remember when I was first a brand new Christian, I was 3 weeks old in the Lord, 3 months old in the Lord, and I went to Bible college. And I had just enrolled in Bible college, and I attended a businessman's Bible study. And the Bible study teacher was leaving, so he said, Wayne, you're a Bible college student. Teach this Bible study from now on. And I thought, no way. I'm 3 months old in the Lord, but you're a Bible college student. You teach it. So I thought, oh, no, please. He said, oh, wow, I don't know what I'm going to do. So, man, I crammed that week. I studied and studied and studied and then taught that lesson. And then the next week, I studied and studied again to teach the next week. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, I grew so much. After a while, I didn't care if the businessmen came. I just loved the study. I preached to the chairs and the waitress. I don't care. But for me, teaching the Bible study, it was almost like the Lord said, Wayne, it has little to do with what you have to offer. It has a whole lot more with what you are about to become because you're involved in this. And what he's saying to Peter is, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, get involved. Somehow get involved. Because it may be very little for what you have to offer and a whole lot more about what you're about to become. And so Peter then does get involved and his life changes. Now remember this, a life of faith is built on what? Action. And a life of fear is built on? Yeah, James 2 says that. Let's read the last verse there. Go. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I'll show you my faith by my works. Yeah, works doesn't get you to faith, but if you have faith, it produces action. And so what the Bible is saying is if you want a life built on faith, it has to have action. If you're building a life of fear, it will be based on avoidance. And you see that in everyday life. If you're fearful of your financial state of affairs, you'll have bills come in and you won't go near those things. And your wife will say, what's in that? Don't open that envelope. Why? There's a bill in there. Right? You won't go near your room where the bills are stacked up. You don't want to look at your checkbook. There's an avoidance. You go to work and someone that you had a few terse words with because you don't want to reconcile or you're afraid or fear is getting to you, you avoid that person. You don't sit with him in the lunchroom. You come in, there he is, okay. You avoid. If you're frustrated with your faith, you'll avoid Christians. You'll avoid church. You won't want to go to church. You'll be in the supermarket and you'll see, you know, the pastor and you, whoa, and you go the other way and the other aisle. I know, I see you guys do that. You're avoiding. I saw you last week do that. And that, if you keep that up, what happens is it's a life of fear is based on avoidance. When you hear the Lord calling you from the seashore, you avoid that. When you know what God is saying, get back into, because that's your true identity, and stop going the other way. That's your false identity. I don't know. And you avoid it. You're about to build a life based on fear because it's based on avoidance. But a life of faith is built on action. Is that God? Then jump in the water and go for it. And when that happens, I tell you, action will produce a faith that nothing can shake. No storm can rattle. No devil can collapse. And that's the kind of people that God wants in this earth. People of a new identity. That's called a people of new hope. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful day today. So please enjoy it. Take some time to be with the Lord. But think through those three points when you're frustrated with your faith. If it happened to Peter, it'll happen to us. And when you know it's the Lord calling you, you have an appointment with God. Whatever you need to do, get close to God. And then begin to confess your love for Him to people and to Him. And then get involved with God. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. Those are instructions to Peter and Peter's response and receptivity that the Lord indelibly placed in the scriptures for you and for me. Because every one of us will go through those seasons where we're frustrated with our faith. But God has an answer and He'll meet you on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. You have an appointment with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace and you initiating contact with us when we start to drift. But at first, it's like we don't know if it's really you calling us, this tension in our hearts, this quiet, subtle tension. But Lord, I know it's you. And like the disciples, as soon as Peter knew that, yep, that's the Lord, he redoubled his efforts to get close to you. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for that appointment with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Seal what God has taught us, would you? Just with a clap offering. In Christ alone, I place my trust.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Peter, An Appointment with God by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu.
In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ.
Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
Is Christ alone?
Hope is Alive for Maui. Join us for Hope is Alive, a special benefit concert for Maui featuring NHO Music and Dance, 24/7 Dance Force, and Honolulu Dance Studio on Friday, September 8th at 7 p.m. at New Hope Oahu on Sand Island Access Road. Then, join us on Saturday, September 9th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, September 10th at 9 and 11 a.m. for New Hope's 28th anniversary services. To discover more, visit enewhope.org. And would you always remember that even today, hope is alive.